Need a break? Relax. Grab a coffee and join the conversation with Mariska on Two Sugars.
Another Wednesday afternoon. It's hump day. All the kids have been at school, back at school now for a couple of weeks, so hopefully your life is becoming a little bit normal again and all the chaos is gone. But anyway, whether it's chaotic with you right at the moment or whether it's quite peaceful, it's time for you to put your feet up. Pour yourself a cuppa and join the conversation. You're with Mariska and Irene, listening to Two Sugars on 104.6 Planet FM.
Shine bright like a diamond.
Wednesday, that made me tap my toes and wiggle my bum. And you know, it's really interesting, listeners out there, that when Irene and I stop recording, she then tells me all of these wonderful stories and all of these great things. And I thought, well, do you know, Irene, we need to share those with our listeners. So I stopped it. And have you ever stopped a friend when they're kind of on full rattle about, you know, something? And then you kind of go, this would be really cool to share with our listeners. And then So here we are. And I'm going to start with something she was telling me about. She was telling me about mattresses. Irene, what is wrong with mattresses?
Nothing at all. Nothing at all. But, see, I bought this mattress for my camper van because my bed in my camper van is a different size to any other, any you know, proper made mattress. So I just had this foam rubber squab. It's you know, 6 inches deep. It's a really thick, big squab. But I just had this made in, actually, I think it's about 8 inches deep, whatever it is, 7 centimetres, and put it on and put a waterproof mattress cover over it. And look, it is the most comfortable mattress you could ever have. So I wonder about how much we get indoctrinated that we have to have all these mattresses that have got all these springs in it and you know, your back has to have this to be protected and your body lie in the right, you know, all this indoctrination that we get convinced about so that we buy a $1,000 mattress on our beds to help our backs. And I sleep in my $200 foam mattress out there and I am way more comfortable and wake up in the morning with less aches and pains than my mattress at home.
Isn't it interesting? Yeah, you are right. It's interesting what you brought up with as well, and then how you're right, how marketing, you know, catches up with you. Because I think in Japan, isn't it, mostly you're on a floor and you roll out quite a thin mat, you know, and that's meant to be good for your back. And, yeah, and we started off with a waterbed. Now, then that transition from a waterbed to a mattress was interesting as well, because you've gone from something extremely soft and pliable to plonk onto a mattress. So we did have to think about that, but we went for comfort. You know, that's what it was all about. It's about being comfort. And you're right, you know, those squabs, they are dead comfy. But did you think about how it breathes? I don't know whether the sponge breathes as well as like a mattress with springs and stuff in it.
Well, I don't know why it wouldn't, you know. I mean, you take the mattress cover off it and you air it out just like you air out a mattress every now and then, you know. I mean, it's open foam cells, so I don't know why it wouldn't.
Oh, is it cells? It's not solid.
Well, do they call it open cell or closed cell?
Oh, I have no idea.
It's solid.
Is it solid or has it got holes in it?
No, it's solid.
Oh, well, how can that be open cells if it's solid? I mean, that's just logical, isn't it? Isn't that just like, I don't know, maybe that's my logic. Now, look, she's so confused now. She can't even think about her mattress.
You could call it whatever you like. I don't care. I love my mattress.
What I did laugh at earlier is you talking about inches and I convert it to centimetres if I want. I don't know what inches are, so I can't even convert it to centimetres, but I could tell you in centimetres. Isn't this bizarre? Here we are. One of us is inches, one of us is centimetres, and we can't convert between the both of us. There you go. That's how it happens.
We combine in lots of other ways. I'm wondering how well you're hearing me, because this morning we had a power cut. And this is the beauty of having my van, you see. I'm in the house and all of a sudden I am supposed to be having this radio show with you and I can't connect at all. And I'm going, what am I going to do? Whoa, I've got a van outside that's got its own power source. How wonderful is that? So I immediately take the router out there and I've connected. So the router is in the van, which is, you know, about 10 metres away from me, and I look like I've got a clear picture here, but I'm not sure how good it's going to be on the other end.
It's absolutely perfect. Isn't that interesting? Depending on where you are to that connection, like up here where we are, it's just absolutely shocking. There's just connections kind of go in and out. But, you know, so you must have good reception there, but absolutely perfect. You wouldn't know that you're not sitting in the studio with me.
Well, one of the things I love about my connection is the company I'm with. It's a company called NetSpeed, which goes through, what is it, that Hawaii, however you say that thing, which is not a company I really want to advertise. But NetSpeed, wherever I go, I have internet coverage. I have all these other people who have Vodafone and Spark, and they have this and they have that, and they pay so many hundreds of dollars each month for this thing. I have my little $80 a month NetSpeed. It's only a router. It is no phone service or anything connected to it, just purely internet, and it's wonderful. I'm often having to share my internet with these other rich camper vans. You know, it's cool.
It must come off a satellite then.
Oh, yeah, something like that. Something like that. It's got to be a satellite. You know me, when it comes to anything that's digital and out there like that, it's like, I don't care. Just make it work for me. I don't want to figure it out.
Yeah, and you're right. When you're travelling around, you kind of need that, don't you? You want to actually be able to be connected and have some reception as well. Yeah. So, and kind of, you know, thinking also one of the conversations I kind of stopped you in the other day too was, you know, you've been travelling round and round about, so you meet a lot of people. Do you keep in touch, or is that not a normal thing? You just meet people and you move on. How does that work for camper vanners?
Well, for me, it works really well. I do find that I get a little bit lonely sometimes. It's sort of not like my boat, where you sail into a marina or a bay or a port, and you made friends with the other yachties very, very quickly. You normally jumped in your dinghy and went over to them, or they jumped in their dinghy and came over to you to pass on information, to find out information, so on and so forth, you know, because it's essential when you're in a boat that you're getting as much information about the facilities around you. So I found I never really got lonely in my boat. In my camper van, I find I do get lonely, because I'll pull into a place and there's all these other camper vanners around and nobody comes and says hello. They wave to me, you know, but you don't feel comfortable enough to go over there and say, hey, I've got a glass of wine too. Can I come and join you? You know, and they're sitting there. You just can't do that. But me being an extrovert, I sort of do grab every opportunity to make friends that I can. And there was one place when I was right down doing that bottom of the east coast of the North Island trip. I came across this couple, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful old girl. She was early 80s and had all sorts of heart problems and things and operations and whatnot. And so she had to be extremely careful how she moved, when she moved. I mean, it was amazing how careful she had to be to keep her heart operating. And there she is in a camper van, enjoying life, you know, just out there living it to the fullest. She and I went and had lunch together one day. Her husband worries about it way more than her. He's having a panic attack while we're out for lunch because we haven't come back on time. He thought we'd only be gone half an hour, an hour. We were gone 2 hours. We were having so much fun. And he's ringing her because he's having a panic attack worrying about her, you know. So, poor man, I really felt for him. But how great is that, you know? How great is that, that she's out there, she's not letting the worry of it happen to her. She's miles away from the nearest health professionals that could help her, and she's still out there doing it. Love it.
Wow, as you said last week, it won't help you anyway, because all of you oldies are bumped off the list. So, as you say, you may as well live it to the full.
Well, she's one of the ones that's been talking to me about that. I mean, with all her health problems that she has, and she's been in and out of hospital and got bypasses, and I don't know what she's got. She's got stuff in her heart that I can't even pronounce. And she was one that was saying to me that the attention she got 20 years ago is not, you know, was so much better than anything she gets now. She said now she just sort of feels, well, I'm only going to, if it's a real emergency, I'll let them dial 111, but, you know, not really worrying about it too much.
Yeah. Hey, isn't it interesting when you say that, you know, there's such a difference between being on a yacht to being on the road? And I suppose you're right, you know, being on the yacht, people needed to know what was happening out in the sea or whatever, or where you'd come, you know, all of those bits and bobs. But out on the road, it's just like everyone for their own. But is it something, I wonder if it's, and you won't know this because you haven't been a camper vanner before, but I wonder if it's something that we've lost, or that it's always been, you know, that you pull up in the campground and you're yourself.
Well, I was just going to add to that. You've got to remember I'm in my camper van in 2022 and I was in my yacht in 2000. So we're talking 20 years ago, and do they still all meet together in the same bay and marina? Do they still share information? Do they still help each other as much today in the yachts and marinas as they used to in my day? Probably not. Probably not. I think that would have, even though in a boat, it's a, and particularly the cruising sailing net, it's a matter of survival to have all the information that you can gain about every single area that you're going to sail through. So there are a lot of organisations that you can become a member of. Like there's one called Noonsight that I still get all their digital online newsletter that comes through every month, and it tells you all about different areas and about cruising sailors' stories and that. But the actual information that you get word of mouth, sitting down and talking to somebody over a beer, is a lot different. And yes, I wonder how much, I mean, boats get stolen so much these days compared to previous days. Just like crime is built up with cars and everything else, boats do get stolen. So have people retrenched in that, you know, lifestyle as well, and not communicating so much with other people?
And maybe more technology these days. You know, you have access maybe to more information and more technology. But you're right. I mean, you can imagine, you know, when we think about, as you're saying, you know, telling people where you've been and stuff. But that's the same as a camper van. Imagine, you know, sitting around having a wine or a beer, and they may have taken a, you know, some road or some route and found something that nobody knows about, but you wouldn't have known about if you hadn't sat down and had that chat. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And to me, that human contact all the time, that discussion with people, it's such a huge learning curve. It's a massive, always is a learning curve when you're talking to somebody. If you read something, you don't get the expression from their face, so you can often get a totally different idea of what they're saying to what they actually mean. Getting that facial expression is so important, and I find that a lot when I'm organising all my adventures and things. We're using WhatsApp and things like that, and the misunderstandings are massive. They're massive. You end up on the phone saying, hey, look, I think you've actually gone down a different path to the others, and I have to pull them back. It's huge.
Yeah. And tell me, but you might not have got these yet, but what are the excuses you use that when you are sitting around having that wine or beer and you're saying, oh, my God, I've got to get out of this, don't really, these people are not really my scene. Are there those little excuses like, oh, my God, I've got to get up early and go tomorrow? Or have you not found them?
I normally just say, oh, I've got a Zoom meeting with my girlfriend Mariska. I make up a little white lie that doesn't matter. Or I'll just say, I'm tired. I need to get out of here. I need to go to bed. You know, it depends how late it is. It might be, you know, sometimes you can get with some of them and they have a few too many beers. You know, I like to have a glass of wine, maybe two, if they're fun people. But some of them like to hang about a lot longer because they've got nothing else to do, you know. And it's like, no, I'm actually, you know, lovely talking to you, but I'm over this. I don't need to go down that, you know, slurred conversation track.
Isn't it funny? I think all our lives, isn't it, you know, to get out of a situation, often there's a little white lie. And it just makes me, and I can't remember whether I mentioned this on our program a few weeks ago now, but it always reminds me of that. There's an ad on telly for some electric company. A power company. I can't actually even remember which power company it is, but they tell the truth. So there's the ad with the real estate agent who tells the actual truth about the house, and, you know, there was a big murder there and the dead person was there and there and there. And then there's a lady out in the pushing her baby in the pram, and she meets someone she knows and asks whether she wants to hold the baby, and the lady's like, yeah, nah, they're like little human raisins, don't like babies, they're all ugly. But we don't do that, do we? We don't do that.
No.
We saw them.
We definitely would not give our baby to a stranger these days. Definitely not. I mean, back in my day, yes, people would coo over your baby and you'd say, oh, would you like to hold her? But today, no way. There's no way you'd do that today. You'd end up in court with being a, what would it, some sort of putting your child in danger or something.
I suppose, though, you're right. You know, you are sometimes you're on the road for a long drive for that day, so it's easy enough to go, it's been a long day, long drive, or if you're leaving in the morning, early start.
Yes, yes. It's not hard to have a little white lie. But you don't have to do that very often. Most people, we get together for the wine and cheese, you know, just like we did on our boats, we'd get together for wine and cheese. And it would be a couple of hours together swapping stories, and then we'd all go home to our own boats or our own camper van to cook our dinners and have our showers and, you know. So, yeah, that doesn't happen very often.
You might be the person that they're going, oh, my God, here she comes again. Quick,
exactly. Exactly. Particularly if somebody started me off in politics, you know, and it's like, okay, we need to get away from this woman very rapidly and pull into a camping ground and see me in there. Oops, no, let's move on to another one. We're not stopping here anymore.
Oh, dear. Oh, yeah, those are subjects you don't really want to get onto in the campground. Yeah, but you can't really move away from people so easily. And it'd be interesting, actually, in the years coming that, you know, you do and whether you end up stopping at the same campgrounds and stuff to whether you end up seeing the same people. I mean, I know families for years and years have gone to the same campground. You know, now their children take their children to the same campground. I don't know if that still happens either.
Oh, yes, that does. Just the last trip I was on, Bailey's Beach, lovely little camping ground and it's got a rather large children's play area in there. Great little place for families. And I arrived Easter weekend, so there was a whole pile of families in there then and they all packed up and left at the end of Easter weekend, and then the following weekend it was Anzac weekend and the next lot of families came in for Anzac weekend, and just about every single one of them said to me, oh, we come here every year, and when I was a child we used to come here every year. So it's just this traditional thing that's gone on and on and on. Also, when I was down on the east coast, just north of Whakatane there's a lovely little camping ground up there, and it was amazing how many of the people there just every year, every year. They've never gone to another beach for their Christmas holidays. They go to the same place every year. I can't get that. It just, you know, I mean, I know that there are people that like that I don't know what you call it. It would just do my head in. I would need to explore. I would get bored with the same beach every year, but yeah.
Yeah, I suppose it's how much I know. I had some friends down south who used to go to the same campground, but it used to be a 2-hour drive or something to the camp, 2.5-3 hour drive to the campground. But they would be like going for 6 weeks, you know, so they were packing up the whole house almost, you know, to go there. So I suppose it's easy once you've got your tent up and everything sorted, you're sorted, you know, and you don't have to think about it again. So, yeah, no, interesting. So if any of you campers out there, camper banners, you know, and you're with Irene in the campground and she goes, I've got a Zoom meeting with Mariska, you know she's telling a little white lie and she just wants to go home to bed or go and do her own thing. But for us, that's all we've got time for this week, and we'll see you the same time, same place next week.
Sugars, brought to you by Delaquo Communication, delaquo.co.nz.
your language on Planet